to you all once again. Just to reiterate a couple of announcements from this morning. So first, I have a note from Wendy and Arthur Casamatis. So the note reads, and this is Wendy, I believe, although I will send a proper thank you note next week. We just wanted to send a thank you note saying thank you for all the lovely gifts. The parcel that Grace Baptist Church sent to us arrived just before we got home from Brisbane. Recovery is going well, and we hope to remove the brace on my hand and the bandages that are on my head in the next couple of weeks. Thank you again for your love and prayers. So continue to be praying for Wendy Casamatis, for her recovery, and the family there, just for much grace. Looking ahead to Easter, so first of all, on Tuesday, we will be having our annual Easter reading at 6:30 p.m., so that's in place of the normal Bible study. We'll be doing our Easter reading during that time. Please come along and read along as we remember the events surrounding our Lord's death and resurrection. So if you can make that, that will be great. And then Easter morning, the Easter Sunday morning service will be held at 7 a.m. That will be followed by a fellowship breakfast and then our normal 10 a.m. service. But importantly, on that Easter Sunday, no evening service. So this service will not be on in the coming Sunday. So please do bear that one in mind. And then if you had a handout from this morning, you would see a little note here at the bottom. And that's just for Brother Ted that passed away recently on the 20th of March. So there will be no funeral held for him in accordance with his own wishes. Condolences or any gifts can be forwarded to his wife, Jan, and his daughter and family, Aaron, Andrew, and Liam Benora. So please do keep the family in in your prayers, and pray for Jan especially during this time. She's still recovering in hospital. With that, okay. So continue to pray for Jan. She's out of the hospital, but just continue to pray for her recovery. And with that, I think we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will have our message. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and grace toward us. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Lord Jesus during this Easter time, and this being Palm Sunday and Passion Week coming up. Would you sober our minds? Oh, Lord, we know that we should always be meditating on these things, but especially during this Easter season, while the world is concerned with pagan things, Easter bunnies, and I guess an occasion to maybe get away for a camping trip, Lord, would you help us as your people, true believers, to meditate upon the real significance of Easter, and the Lord Jesus, and he's looking ahead, going to the cross, his death, burial, and eventual resurrection, Lord. Would you help us to come to know more and to love more our salvation, to know the love of Christ, its height, depth, breadth, width, all dimensions of his love, Lord, that he laid down his own life so that we may have eternal life through his name, that he bore our penalties on the cross, that he bore our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our sufferings. He bore it all. And Lord, we know that we have eternal life in his name, and we just pray that you would help this to be at the forefront of our hearts and mind, as it should be, but especially during this season. Help us to share this great, wonderful news with others, that the free gift of salvation is there if they only believe in the name of Jesus. Father, I do pray for the prayer request mentioned today, of course. We do think of Sister Wendy Casamatis at this time, and we thank you for the grace that you showed her in the successful surgery. But we just pray that you continue to be with her during the recovery process, and of course her family and all the people supporting her. Will you be with them and be gracious to them and give them the grace that they need? We ask that you be with Jan at this time, this trying time. She suffered the loss of her life partner, her husband. Lord, I pray that you just be with her soul and comfort her, but also help her to recover from the heart attack that she suffered as a result of that. Be with Andrew and Aaron and Liam as they are also mourning the loss of Dad for Aaron and Grandpa for Liam. So I just pray, Lord, that you be with them and give them much grace and comfort. Be with us. Would you tend to any unspoken requests that we have tonight? I do also think of Katie at this time, as she's due to give birth very soon. So we be with her, give her much grace and strength. Lord, I do pray for the rest of the message. Pray that you be with the pastor, give him strength and courage and boldness as he preaches. And may your word bear much fruit in our lives. Pray for the upcoming Easter services, that you just bring folks along and that you would prosper your word. And just thank you for your faithfulness. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good evening. Thank you for being here. Turn your Bible, please, to Luke 22. Luke 22, we'll be looking at. May I ask that if you would like to give some brochures to folks, to invite them to our Easter services. There are brochures in the back there, so please do invite folks along. Easter is a time where people will come to church when they won't maybe come any other time of the year. And so next Sunday night, we will not be having a service. We'll have it at 7 o'clock. Please come then. That'd be great. Or at 10 o'clock. So just keep that in mind. But I look forward to next Sunday's services. And Easter time is such a wonderful time that we get to focus that much more on the Lord's coming and his death and resurrection. So, tonight I want us to continue looking at the final 24 hours of Jesus' life, and more particularly, the prayers that Jesus prayed in those last 24 hours. And if you think of the different people throughout Scripture who were known for their prayers, the Enos was one of the first ones in Genesis chapter 5 that men began to call on the name of the Lord. And Abraham, the friend of God, who James 2:23 talks about, that he just would talk to the Lord about his promises, about his life and the difficulties that he was facing. And you think of Daniel, you think of the three Hebrew children, that when they were under pressure, how that they fasted, they prayed, they went to the Lord. You think of those in the book of Esther who, though God's name is not mentioned one time, you know they were praying to the Lord because they were going before him. And so, how important is prayer, or was prayer, in the Lord Jesus' life? And you have to say very, very important. Prayer was very important in his life. In fact, 8 times in the last 24 hours, Jesus prayed. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with a popcorn prayer. We used to give popcorn testimonies when I was growing up, sometimes at church. And that kind of testimony is like, I just thank the Lord that he saved me, or I thank the Lord for his grace. It's very short. Well, a popcorn prayer is what I mean by that. There's nothing silly about it. But it's, Lord, will you please give me wisdom right now? Very short. But it demonstrates, not that we're trying to tick a box, but man, Lord, we want you involved in this. We want you, well, that's our Lord. in these last 24 hours of his life. He wants his Heavenly Father active. He's acknowledging him all the way through. And so as we think about prayer tonight, and we said this last week, it seems as if prayer was Jesus' go-to response during those last 24 hours. And really, it should be our go-to response too. And we'll be talking more about that in just a moment. It should be our go-to response as well. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? That's something that Corrie ten Boom said. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Now, we looked at the first two prayers last week along with some other stuff, but today I want us to consider prayers 3, 4, and 5, and that's all we're going to. I've included the 6 through 8 in the message, but I think we're just going to concentrate on prayers 3 through 5 tonight. And wonderfully so, they're the same prayer. It's the same prayer 3 times. So let's get in to the message. And he came out. Now, I'm in Luke 22. This is verse 39, I think. Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. Now, do you ever wonder why it was that Judas knew exactly where Jesus was going to be? How is it that he was able to tell the religious leaders, he's going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane? That's where he's going to be. Well, that word want there, that was his habit. And that's basically the word that we use for a habit that someone had. When Jesus was in town for the Passover, turn back with me. I'm going to ask you to do lots of turning with me tonight. So turn back with me to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 37. And it says, in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. So anytime he was in Jerusalem, in the daytime, he was in teaching in the temple. And at night, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. So basically, during the Passover week, during the special holidays that they were in Jerusalem, that's where Jesus stayed all night. He didn't have a house. So he knew he was going to be there. It says that in that verse, the Mountain of Olives, that his disciples also followed him. His disciples followed him. The word followed there is, it gives the idea of someone following another as a disciple, as a learner, as someone that's able to learn. And the crowds followed Jesus when there were miracles going on, when there was food available. That's when they were following Jesus. But the disciples, not so much. They were following in him then. But they were also following him when he was very, very human. In fact, they're seeing the Lord like no one else sees him. They're seeing the Lord now. My heart is greatly troubled. They're seeing the Lord's heart greatly troubled. And yet, his disciples They stay with him. They stay with him. Even in his humanity, even in his, he's not doing miracles right now. They're seeing how he handles the pressures of life. In some ways, the garden represented his home right now. And you know, I remember Dr. Matsko on the BJ team, when we were here, we would come over for 3 months to Australia from the States. And while we were here, he would say, any student can pretend for the first month that they have a relationship with God. They can pretty well, but by the time you get toward that second and third month, the pretend wears off. You've been around them day and night, day and night, day and night for constant, and you see the real person. And you know, the disciples, they have been with Jesus day and night, day and night, day and night, and they're seeing what he's really like. In our families see what we're really like. Jesus' disciples, they're seeing what he's really like when the pressure is on. Let me ask you something. What are you really like when the pressure is on? What are you really like when the pressure is on? Well, the Lord has opened himself up to his disciples. In fact, so much so that one of them is going to betray him very soon. He allowed the disciples to see him as he was. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, he's giving them the same advice. Now, was there something about temptation that they were not going to ever go through? They were going to be in temptation. In fact, this test that they were getting ready to face, it was going to be a doozy. The religious leaders, Judas was already there. He was already organizing them to come back. It wasn't a matter of whether there was going to be a test or not. It was how they were going to handle it. And in life, it's not so much whether we're going to have temptations and trials and tests or not. It's how we're going to face them. Turn with me. Keep your place here just for a minute. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know this verse. First Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So the Lord, he says to them, you know what? It's coming. And he tells them to do the same thing that he's getting ready to do. What's he going to do? He's going to pray. And sometimes I still remember, I mean, this is like 20 years ago. I still remember at youth group on a Friday afternoon giving a primary youth group devotional. And I said, we need to follow Jesus' example. And one of the kids piped up just beautifully, so just very honestly, and said, But Jesus was God. But Jesus was God. Yes, he was God, but he was also man. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here he is. He's getting ready to feel the full force. None of us ever feel the full force of sin, of Satan's temptations. He felt the full force of Satan's temptations on our behalf. And he knew that his Father was going to turn his face away. The human side said, you know what? I'd rather not. The human side said, I'd rather not. And we'll be looking at that in a minute. The beautiful thing about this is that our Lord, what he did is he faced the trials that he faced through the same avenues that we have. He told the disciples, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. And you know what? That's how our Lord, in just a few minutes, we're going to look. He's going to bow three times. And he's going to ask the Lord, you know, his Father. He's going to talk to his Father. How is it that we can endure the difficulties that we have? Now, by the way, it could seem as if this is just a lot of religious jargon, but it's really not. It's actually right where we live. You think about the fact that when we have a relationship issue, or we have a health issue, or we have a finance issue, those things are very real to us. Those things, they challenge us, and they put us, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I'm beside myself. I don't know what to do. Well, the beautiful thing is that Jesus, in this most difficult hour of his whole life, in fact, in just a minute, we're going to see that he sweats great drops of blood. This is a high pressure time for our Lord. And yet of all the things he could do, he doesn't spend it crying. He doesn't spend it screaming. He doesn't spend it taking it out on everyone else. He doesn't spend it eating or some other comfort. He spends it with his Father. Second thing he does is, and I'm talking about, he handled his pressures, he handled his problems the same way we can. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, in just a minute, he's going to say, not my will, but thine be done. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. A body he's been prepared. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. You know what the Lord did? He wanted to do his Father's will. He wanted to please his Father. Now where do we find out the Father's will? Where do we learn about the Father's will? Well, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 4. And really, we could look at in Luke as well, but we'll just go to Matthew 4. Time and time again, when he was tested, when he was tried, when the problems and difficulties of life came his way, he appealed to God's word. In Matthew chapter 4, he is tempted by Satan. The first 11 verses, he's tempted by Satan many times, but there's three particular ones recorded. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He's not eaten for a long time. What did he say? I'm going to do God's will. Time and time again throughout those verses, when he's tempted to throw himself off of the temple, he says, not going to do it. When he's tempted to say, I'll give you all of the kingdoms that you see, well, he says, that's not my Father's will. That's not what the Lord wants. I'm supposed to worship him. And so here in Luke 22, verse 40, he's appealing to us. He's saying to us to really, we need to be focused on doing our Father's will and doing His, what He wants for us. It says in the next verse that He was withdrawn. That he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Just a couple of things about this verse before we go to the actual one we're wanting to consider tonight. Notice that it said that he went about a stone's throw from them. I'll mention this, that there were parts when Jesus was going through pressure, he was not a loner. He was not a loner. Let me ask you something. When you're going through problems and difficulties, do you say to everyone else, just leave me alone, let me work it out? Now, there was a part of it that he's going to be a stone's cast from them. There's part of it. He wanted his disciples with him. He had the eight that he said, you guys stay about 25 meters from me. He had Peter, James, and John, and he said, I want you guys a stone's cast from me. So he had them nearby. He didn't just handle his problems as a loner. Are we willing to ask others to help us pray? Are we willing to ask for help, or are we just everyone leave me alone and let me sort it out? But you notice here in this verse that there were some things that only he could do. There were some things that only he could do. Only he could die on the cross for our sins. Only he could exchange his life for ours. It says there that he knelt down. He kneeled down and prayed. Did you know that's the only time in the Gospels that it says that Jesus knelt down to pray? From what I read recently, someone stated that the general way for someone to pray was to be looking up at heaven, or just throughout Scripture, it doesn't really, in the times when Jesus is praying, it doesn't tell us his mode, what he's doing, whether he's standing or sitting or kneeling. But here it emphasizes the fact of his kneeling. Now, it means to bend the knee. That's what to kneel means, and we can figure that out, can't we? But you know, in Mark 15:19, the soldiers mocking Jesus, they got down on the knees and they bowed before the Lord. In Romans 11:4, when Elijah complained to God, "I'm the only one left," Paul reminds us of what the Lord told Elijah in the Old Testament. "I have 7,000 prophets who've not bowed the knee to Baal. They've not shown submission. They've not shown obedience. They're staying faithful." Stephen, as he was being stoned, he bowed the knee, said, "Father, forgive them." So there's something to this bowing of the knee. In fact, maybe you're really familiar with the Philippians chapter 2. That he's given, well, let's just go there. He's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And that this is actually really appropriate verses for us to look at tonight. Says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'd rather do that here, by the way. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior tonight, you need to bow to Him on this side of eternity. On this side of eternity. It's too late when you get to the other side of eternity. So here the Lord Jesus is kneeled down and he's praying and he says this. He says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now he prays this prayer three times. And they say with the same words, he prayed this prayer. In fact, I'll go there just for a second, have a look. After he prays the prayer the first time, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven strengthening him. So he's feeling the pressure of heaven and earth. So let's go back and go over this. First of all, there's the address. In this time of pressure, in this time of hardship, he does the same thing that we can do. He calls on the Lord and he says, "Father." And the wonderful thing about that is that we can do the same thing. He admonishes us in Luke chapter 11, verse 12, in Matthew 6, 32. He says, "Talk to your Father. Whenever things are going on, talk to your Father." Don't know what kind of relationship you've had with your father, with your dad. In fact, Mark uses that term, Abba Father, for right here. I don't know what kind of relationship you've got with your father, but I know that if there's anything that I can do for my children, if there's anything that I can do for them without breaking the law, and if it's best, I'm going to try my best. Here, and the Lord, he even appeals to this, if we would give our kids fish instead of a serpent or whatever, how much more will our Heavenly Father look after us? Well, he's appealing to the Father. And he says, Father, if you're willing, and I love this, sometimes we're afraid that we'll pray out of God's will. You ever afraid? Do you always just pray, may your will be done, Lord? Well, here, he's praying, Father, if it's your will, remove this cup from me. I want this cup removed. So there's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with asking. The Lord said, you know what, Lord, if you're willing, important reasoning there. Lord, if you're willing, not if you'd permit it. Not just if you would, if it's okay with you, if we can get by with it. Lord, if you're willing, he says, remove this cup from me. The word cup there in the Old Testament, Isaiah 51 verse 13, Isaiah 51, 22, and actually is talking about oftentimes it has to do with suffering, especially in regards to the judgment of God. In Matthew 20, James and John asked to be on the right and left of the Lord Jesus in the kingdom. And the Lord says, can you partake of the cup that I partake of? And they said, yes. And Jesus says, you're going to. Meaning that they're going to suffer just like he is. Father, will you please remove this cup from me? That's his petition. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He prays this three times. Do we pray our prayers with a continuance? Or do our prayers matter enough to us that we're willing to say, Lord, not just once, not just twice, but Lord, will you please grant wisdom here? Lord, will you please help? Lord, will you please work? I'm resting in you. Ever how you do this thing, ever how you work this thing out, I'm going to keep, nevertheless, your will be done. I'm going to follow you. But Lord, will you please work? He prayed that prayer three times. He prayed that prayer three times. The Lord is not the only one strengthened by an angel. Others in the Old Testament, Daniel was. The Lord Jesus was earlier in his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, we looked at his temptation. He was also strengthened by an angel then. It says, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now this is after he's prayed this prayer three times. The whole time. Each time he came back, they were asleep because their eyes were heavy. They'd been up a long time. Three times he prayed that prayer. And three times he got the same response. Nope, it's not my will. Folks, these three prayers show our Lord's willingness to die on the cross for our sins. It shows that really we need to, when the pressures come for us, those pressures actually are spiritual things. It is a spiritual time. It is a time where we need to say, you know what, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to follow the Lord to the best of my ability right now. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. The Lord Jesus, he had this that close contact with his Father, Abba Father. Tonight, just know how much the Lord loves you and how much he wants us to come into his presence with whatever it is that's going on. He wants us living in his presence. He doesn't mind us telling him the exact circumstances of what we see. Let's be praying like our Lord was. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these three prayers. 9 words. Very meaningful. Very meaningful. Not our will, but yours be done, Lord. And Father, I pray that we would even more in our everyday situations and circumstances, that we would depend on prayer, we'd depend on your word. Those are the things you've given us to give us the grace and the strength, the help that we need. Those are the things that the Lord Jesus depended on. So help us, Lord, to go forward in prayer. And as we remember this time of year that Jesus died on the cross and he arose again the third day, may it be more meaningful to us. May prayer and your word, may they not just be something that are religious symbols, but may they be that which gives us strength to keep going, keep being faithful. Thank you for your care to us, and we pray you dismiss our service tonight in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming tonight. Lord bless you heaps. Hope you have an absolutely fantastic rest of your week. If I don't see you between now and Easter, have a great time. Be safe for you guys that are going away. Lord bless you.